Hi, and welcome to BSing Insurance. My name is Stephanie.
And I'm Brian.
And we are so glad you found us.
We're here to BS some insurance.
Today, we're going to talk about leadership. And team building.
Leadership excellence.
Yes. Anybody out here find themselves in a leadership position or a team building position, or maybe they've been asked to be in this position or they want more? This is the podcast for you.
Yes. I say leadership excellence for a reason. You know why?
Why?
That was the Army ROTC. It's on every patch.
Is it?
Yeah, on the shoulder sleeve insignia for Army ROTC.
Interesting.
Yep.
Any other veterans out there? Brian served in the military for how many years?
And I am an Army ROTC graduate.
Yeah, with the University of Tampa. So
class of 05. We're old.
Aging ourselves. There could be agents out there listening to our podcast that were born in 2005. We have one in our household that's going to be getting her license here, and she was born in 2006.
Yes.
Next generation of insurance agents. You're going to be like grandpa.
What does that make you?
I mean, 29 forever.
XXIII.
Oh, goodness gracious. So, you know, this is something we've been talking to our team about a lot, right? Our team is very diverse. We have a lot of newbie agents. We've got agents that came from other agencies. We got agencies that came from the captive world, you know, and I'm really talking to some of our agents right now about taking on team leadership roles, team building roles, because we want to encourage our agents to build their own agency eventually. And what should we be looking into ourselves or other people to know that they're going to be the next big team leader? Like, we're not like some of these MLM agencies that are only out there to, you know, build numbers. We want to put somebody on the track for success, right? We don't want to give them a team or encourage them to recruit people if they themselves aren't ready yet.
You have to want it, right?
You
know what? So many people are like, I want to be in management, or I want to be the manager or become the leader, just because they think it's that step that you have to take in order to be successful.
Yeah.
And in this business, that's not true.
No.
Right? You can be uber successful as an army of one, you know? You don't need to have people underneath of you to make a bunch of money. And that's the one great thing about it. So the first thing I would say is, don't do it because you think you have to.
Yes. And if you're getting pressure, like you have to do it from your upline, then that upline probably doesn't have the best interest at heart for you.
Yeah. If they're pressuring you to recruit and bring on new people and get downlines, it's because they need you to do that in order for them to make money. And that's greedy. That's not the way it's supposed to be.
No, definitely not. So we want to make sure the agents that are going to take on team roles, they are ready for this, because we don't want to discourage new agents that get put under these agents that don't know what they're doing to get discouraged and go away, right? Or get dropped out of the business. I remember when I first started the business captive, the guy that was my manager had been there for 6 months.
He was an expert. 6 months.
6 months he had been there for. And if that's how you run your agency, good for you guys. But I just don't believe in 6 months in this business you are ready to go out there and train agents, you know, unless you like literally you're just the best things to slice bread, right?
It's definitely if they came from a banking background, yes, and worked with this stuff on the side maybe already, mm-hmm, right? Like, it's not super hard to learn.
No.
But also, like, the selling, like, for me anyways, like, learning the products and, like, when to use what product and, you know, what to be looking for, that part wasn't hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the selling is the hard part. So, you know, I would say that if somebody comes on with a bunch of sales experience in another industry or just a really charismatic person that can sell anything, like, maybe they get to be the manager in 6 months if they can pick up on the products. But
yeah,
for the most part, like, that's not how it happens.
No. And you got to know your limits, too. And I think that is a problem. We've seen that. You saw that in your law enforcement career. And I've seen that in the insurance business outside of our agency, that not everyone is meant to be a manager either. Not everyone is meant to own their own business. Sometimes their best power is a power, like you said, an army of one, and that's where their skills are best used. I mean, I know for me, though, I was born to be a teacher. I've coached forever, and I like teaching people. I'd much rather go out there with somebody and teach them how to go make the sale and watch them go make their own money than to work independently.
right?
All day, every day, but which that, I did for years. I worked independently, so.
And that, but that's not for everybody. Like, there's some people who just can't, like, or just don't want to, or don't have the attention span, like.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yep. And but if those people are able to go out and produce on their own, there's definitely no reason for them to go bring somebody else on or try to teach somebody, because you have to want to be able to do it. You have to have that desire to be able to do it before you're going to be able to be successful at it, right?
Yeah.
Like, how many stories do we hear about, you know, from new agents, agents that have come to us, or just people we talk to out in the world who got brought on by, you know, one of the major MLM style marketers or carriers, and then, you know, next thing you know, their upline's nowhere to be seen, right? They bring this person on and there's nobody actually there teaching them. There's nobody there supporting them, you know, because that goal, that the only goal of that person was to get a downline, right? Yep. You know, what do you do with them? It's like fishing. Hey, I caught one. What do I do with it now that I got one? I don't know. I don't know what I was doing myself anyways.
Oh gosh, the vision I'm having here in the house. Yep. The two stooges, not three stooges, but two stooges.
Like a dog chasing a car, you know, would the dog even know what to do once it got to the car?
No, you're right. You're right. And I've been talking to agents lately in our agency, and I've got some that are like so ready to build a team. They just know that they need that little push, or they just need a little extra time. So, you know, when is really the right time to make that move? That's like really, I think, the biggest question for people, right? Because we've got a couple agents that are like, oh, I love this, I love that, I know this is my mindset, but maybe I'm gonna drag my feet here a little longer. When is the right time to make a leap?
So I will go back to kind of like my law enforcement days, and whenever I realized I was ready to start training people, and then when I was ready to start moving up through the ranks. And for training, it was whenever I was able to do 95% of the work right, without any questions asked of, you know, why did you do it this way? Like, it was just done right. Nobody second guessed anything that I did anymore. I didn't have to call anybody for help. I just knew the answers, you know, and people started calling me, you know, to say, hey, what do I do with this? I'm just a little bit confused here. You know, something's a little bit out of whack. What do I do with it? So whenever I was able to start answering those questions and having the right answers, that's whenever I realized that, you know, I'm ready to start teaching people. I'm ready to commit to that, because it's a big commitment, right? It takes a lot to take somebody who has no idea of what they're doing and then bring them up to speed to make them an expert in whatever it is. It doesn't, if it's law enforcement or sales or whatever, like, it's, you really can't just throw somebody to the wolves and expect them to grow, right?
You gotta teach them. I feel like a lot of people in this business do that to these agents.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Well, and then for me, like, for the promotional part of it, like becoming the manager, moving up in the supervisory ranks, it was because the other people that I were working with, I didn't want to work for them. So, you know, I didn't want to work for somebody, for some of those people. So I had to, you know, at least maintain the same level as them, so I didn't have to work for them, or maybe become their supervisor. So that was more of like the other boss options weren't that great. So I was going to just have to be me.
I feel that. Yep. I feel that.
But the great thing about this business is you don't have that problem, right? If your boss,
depending on where you are, right? Yeah. So like, I started becoming a trainer year and a half, 2 years into being an agent, and I wasn't paid for it. I got like free appointments. I'd go with newbie agents because management would ask me, hey, can you take so and so out, you know, run leads, or can you go run this appointment for me with her or him? And I really enjoyed that. You know, I got free appointments out of it, and I split sales. So for me, that was awesome. But I think my turning point when it was time to open up our own agency was when management changed. And the old agency I was at was like a big corporate known company, and they all have individual offices. And the manager that had been there for like 30 years, amazing, was great work environment. And they brought a new guy in, and this guy had like less than 5 years experience in the position. And we had a meeting together, and before the person before me, he spent like 30 minutes talking to, and I got into the office and sat down and he spent like a minute with me, and he's like, well, I know there's really nothing I can do to help you. Like, you know, everything that you need to know. And, you know, I know that you're probably going to be teaching me. So do you need anything from me? And that was the day I was like,
so why are you here again? Like, I'm very confused.
I need to get the heck out of here. Like, this is the sign God's telling me. Like, and he was a nice enough guy. I think that he probably bit off a lot more than he could chew in the beginning, because it was a lot, you know. So I'm sure he was just learning how to be a leader himself.
From what we hear now, he's doing pretty good.
From what we hear now, he's doing very good. So that, and that's really great. But that's when I knew, why am I gonna stay here? Like, there's no lateral movement for me. Like, I'm not going anywhere. So, well, I need to go somewhere.
We had talked about that for years, about whether you wanted to move up in that structure, and you didn't. You never really wanted to move up.
Because I liked the management structure that was there, and I liked I didn't have any responsibilities. We had babies at home. I didn't want to have responsibilities. I just wanted to go to work and sell stuff and come home. That's what I wanted to do.
Army of one.
I was a great army of one. And every once in a while, I brought in a newbie agent to go run leads and go do appointments with, and I enjoyed that. So, and sometimes I'd take senior agents on appointments when they couldn't sell something, and I'd go sell it for them, and we'd split it. So
it's a win-win-win.
It's a win-win-win. So that's the thing, right? You know, what's your first steps, and are you meant to be in management? And I think that being a trainer and manager isn't like something that you're just necessarily born with. You've got to put work into it, right? You've got to study. You've got to learn people. You've got to really read people. That's something that I am working on. And I failed at a little bit by thinking that this person would be this type of personality, or this would work motivating this person. And in reality, it was like, I was so off base with that. So it's a lot of people learning too. And you got to be open to knowing that you don't know everything.
Yeah.
That's something big too.
Knowing that you don't know it. Well, knowing what you don't know enough of, right?
Yes.
Because I think by the time you move into like a training / management role in any organization, especially like one like this, you should have the grasp of the fundamentals on every part of it. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just the way I work, but you got to have a grasp of the fundamentals. You don't have to be an expert in every part of it, but you have to understand how it all works.
You have to be able to ask questions.
Right.
You have to have enough like in you to say, hey, I don't know the answer to that. Let me find out for you.
Let me find out the answer, right? Like, I know it exists. I know I have the idea of it. If we're going to do this, I'm going to go have to Google some stuff real quick.
Well, like, I was just talking to an agent. He's newer to us, but not new in the business. And I'm really encouraging him to build a team right now. He's really great, actually. And he's like, well, maybe in July, maybe here. And I'm like, you got this. You can do it. But if you don't know it, like, you got me. So you got to have a mentor too. So if you're in a atmosphere where you have somebody who you can go back and you can ask questions and they won't judge you and you won't feel like you're belittled because you ask questions, by the way, that's the only environment you should be in this business. You should never be in a situation where they make you feel bad for asking questions, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I've heard so much of that,
If they're making you feel bad for asking a question, and you haven't asked it a dozen times that day already, right? Because there is a limit. There's a limit.
Brian has a limit. He's this is the military side of him. I've learned a lot working with him. If you work with your spouse, you learn a lot about each other. And it's funny, like, what little things, like, just kind of get under his skin when somebody asks the same question, like, every day of the week. And he's like, oh, they should know this already.
That is the thing. Like, for me, I don't mind telling somebody something. You know, the first time, you know, show, what is it? Well, generally you show, then you have them do it, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes people just never get into the ability to have them do it because you just keep doing it. It's like, it's like the kids, right? If you keep doing everything for the kids, they're never going to do anything for themselves because they're just going to expect you, like washing the dishes in the sink.
Like anybody else have teenagers and kids at home, by the way?
Whenever the kids use a non-dishwasher safe Tervis tumbler, not, you know, Stanley cup, and then I just leave it in the sink for me to wash, And then, like, what am I teaching them? By washing that, which I have to do because you yell at me if the dishes are left in a sink. So,
I don't yell at you.
She does.
I hate dishes. It's like the one thing I hate doing is dishes.
But what are we teaching the kids by every time they want to use that cup, it's clean because they left it in a sink and somebody else cleaned it for them, right? We're not teaching them to be self-sufficient. We're teaching them that they can just leave a mess and somebody else is going to clean it up.
Mm.
So that's the thing with teaching people to do the job as well, right? If you just keep doing it for them or giving them the answer, they're never going to learn, right? They're just going to keep coming to you for that answer. So what I try to do is, you know, the first time I'll give you the answer. The second time, you know, I might still give you the answer. It depends on, you know, what the problem actually is. But as that is, in my opinion, as that problem becomes more, should be more and more simple for you, I'm giving you less of the answer. So eventually I'm getting to the point where I'm Googling the answer and sending you the Googling. And then I'm getting to the point where, you know, I'm telling you what to Google. And then most people by that point, they've just figured out how to find the answer themselves at that point. So then they're coming me with the problem and the answer, and I'm telling them yes or no. And then after that, then they've got it, right?
Yes. Yeah, I do that a lot. What do you think the answer is, right? What do you think you should do here?
Yeah.
And normally, like 9 out of 10 times, maybe 9.5 out of 10 times, they've got the answer. They're just looking for reaffirmation of like that they know what they're talking about.
Yes.
Which is fine. I'm good with that.
That's how I did it in patrol too, in law enforcement. Like if I had a guy in phase four that I was training or somebody on my squad that, you know, had, you know, was newer, just didn't know everything yet, which is fine. You know, come to me with a question, come to me with what you think the answer is too. And I'll tell you if you're on the right track. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, we're not in a situation where somebody's going to get hurt if it's not done right, exactly right now, right? Because that's entirely different handling of the situation.
You can fix pretty much everything in this business, thankfully.
Yes. So if something is, if it's not an emergency, you know, I'm going to have you work through that problem and come to a solution. And then I'm going to tell you if you're right or wrong. And then if you're wrong, I'm just going to tell you you're wrong. Well, depending on where you're at in the training process, I'm going to tell you you're wrong and then make you go figure out where you're wrong and then fix it.
So those military, law enforcement, fire background, you probably feel it. If you guys don't have that background, you probably think that it just sounds kind of like mean. But that's, you know, kind of his personality. And then you have people like that I'm more like.
Well, for me, people work to that, right? They work to the point where if I'm just telling them they're wrong, it's because they've probably brought the same problem to me a dozen times and gone through the steps and they're just not getting it.
Yeah.
Right.
But you definitely have agents in our agency that would much rather talk to you than me. And then agents that don't want to talk to you at all. So the personalities though, like, and I love it. Right.
Yeah.
So, cause I know like if they don't do well with you necessarily, they're me and them are going to be fine. Cause I have that more. I've been a dance coach for 23 years. I've taught kids. I still do. I teach on Tuesday nights for 3 hours. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's not something I have to do. It's something I enjoy doing. I love work. I always say I love working with kids and older people because I love Medicare. But that's kind of how I am with the kids. I'm just more let's take steps together type of person. And Brian's like, you've got this. Just figure it out.
Well, by the time I get to the, you've got this, let's figure it out. We've already gone the let's take steps together type thing. So
maybe it's just the way you say it. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe I am also a little bit shorter than not shorter height, but shorter tolerance for, you know, mistakes
because of the military and law enforcement background.
Maybe.
Yeah, and those are things that you need to come to reality. So we're having this conversation very candidly today because, you know, if you do want to build a team or if you have built a team and maybe you're struggling at it or you're in management and you're struggling at it or you're not wondering why, like you're wondering why people aren't like reacting to you, you know, really self-assess yourself and see like, what I'm doing, is that working? You know, another thing I ask our team all the time is what do you need from me? I keep that open communication 24/7 with them. Mm-hmm. Like whatever you need. And like, if you look at my text messages, you look at our emails, you listen to our meetings, it's like, let me know what you need today. Let me know how I can help you.
That's how pretty much every one of them ends. Like, you know, if you have a question, call, right? Let me know.
Or text me or whatever the situation is. And I love that, right? But obviously, I want you learning every time you ask me those questions. I want you learning because I want most of our team to build their own teams. I do. And they're not all wanting to do that. And that's fine, too. That's not a big deal. You know, I have some agents that are just super powerful by themselves. And they'll be great, you know, and I think down the road they'll eventually want to build a team, you know, but it's not in their immediate future by any means.
So kind of like to summarize everything, don't become a trainer or a leader until you're ready.
Yes. Right?
When you're ready.
Don't
expect it right away. And you know, take the guidance of the people over top of you. If your manager is saying, hey, you need to figure out this and this first before we can move you up to that next step, there's probably a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they've probably been there before or, you know, seen other people making those, you know, same issues, and they don't want that for you. So there's that.
Yes. Yes. You pulled out a leadership book you've been reading. Did you have it open for a reason?
Well, no, it's a book that, the leadership team at RFMO is reading. It's, John Maxwell's Five Levels of Leadership, and it's kind of hard to see in the camera there, but there it is. I actually read this once before in ROTC, so I'm familiar with it. I'm reading through it again, and probably not as fast as, you know, I should be, but also life, right? So, but basically, Maxwell's general idea is that there's five different levels of leadership. You have your positional leadership, which is, you know, you're appointed by somebody else who's in a leadership position, and now you're that new junior leader, right?
Mm-hmm. So, like, which I think in this business is probably where we can put most people.
Well, that's yes. Well, yes. You earn the rest of them, right?
Yep.
You positional leadership, you get appointed to, but you're also the weakest in that particular spot because people only follow you because they have to.
Mm. That's powerful too.
Yes. And so if they don't have to do something for you, they're not going to do it.
Mm.
You know, that's the problem with it. So that when you move up to the next level of permission, that's whenever people are following you because they give you permission. They're agreeing to follow you. Mm. So you've earned a little bit of their trust, right? So they're going to do what you ask them to do because they're allowing that type of control. The next is production, like you've produced things for other people, right? So that you've earned more of their trust from that. And then people development, which is where you should really be as like a mid-level or, you know, agency owner or whatever. Where people development is where you're taking that time, you know, people, you're developing the next leaders, right? So you might have a leader underneath of you who has a team. You're developing leaders, you're developing people, you're developing the agency. And then the pinnacle leadership, the number five pinnacle, the top level, actually say what he does. People follow you because you are, because of who you are and what you represent. So thinking like towards that, back to the military time, right? If you see like a general, like especially when I was a new private, like, a general, you obviously respect the rank, but you know, you hear stories about some of those guys, and then you see that star, right? And then you're like, all right, he's a big deal, he carries a lot of weight. You know, you're gonna follow that guy, not just because he's a general, but if you know they have a good reputation, you're following that reputation as well. And then same thing too with any other type of environment, any work environment, right? If you've risen to the top, people who know your reputation, know you live the values that you preach and do the things that you teach to other people, they'll put you at that number five level, right? So all those other levels, all, you know, two through five, you know, those are earned. Those are earned by the people that, given to you by the people that you lead. You know, you're not just appointed to those things. And the interesting thing is, you don't have the same level with everybody, right? So with you, me and you, we could be level five leaders with each other, right? But if we bring somebody else on, we might be down, you know, at level three, one, right? Or one, depending, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't move up until you start gaining the trust of the people underneath of you, right? And if you change organizations or you change positions, like, you start back at one. You start back at one until you move through.
Yeah.
But Maxwell does say, you know, as you move, once you move through the first time, right, as you move up, it becomes easier the second time, right? Because you've learned what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And how to get it done. So, cool book. I'm reading it again. So, you know, I might have missed it. It's been like 20 years since I read it the first time. So,
he's only had it on his desk for like a month and a half, but he's been so busy and just reading it here and there. So, if you want a good read, read it.
Take a read through it. It's definitely a good book. So,
awesome. Awesome. So we hope we brought you some value today. Our podcast is just us going back and forth talking about our experiences. So we hope that brings you something. We'd love for you guys to follow us. We're here on YouTube. We are on Spotify, Amazon Music Podcast, Apple, Pandora. We're all over the internet.
The major podcasting
we're all over
spots.
The internet. And we're bsinginsurance.com, sbginsurancegroup.com. And we are just so glad you're here.
BSing Insurance, the podcast on Facebook.
There we go.
Twitter. SBG Insurance Group on Twitter, I think. I don't know.
I don't really do the Twitter very much, or X or whatever it's called now. So
TikToks,
yes. TikTok, SBG Insurance. Love to see you guys there.
That is us. Let us know, you know, if you're in a leadership position, what do you think got you there? You know, any tips or tricks. You know, for a new leader or even an established leader, if you read this book, let me know what you think about it. Dropping stuff all over the place. Just let us know. Drop us some comments. Send us an email. admin@sbginsurancegroup.com is the email address.
We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Or leave a comment in whatever commenting portal that you are viewing us on.
Thanks so much. We'll talk to you guys next time.
See you later.
Bye.